Pasuk Eikev Revi, one pasuk that has three ideas. Number one is Psalucha, which means Psalucha Shalucha. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu that the Lucha Shnios are knocking like the Lucha Shores, and the Lucha Shnios Psalucha. It's not going to be from Hashem. The stones, the Luchas Rishonos, the stone was a Maase Elokim. It was quarried straight from the source, from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Luchas Shnios, the stones, Moshe Rabbeinu himself had to quarry the stones upon which Hashem would etch the Dibros. So it's Psal Lucha. You quarry the stone. Shnei luchos avonim kari shenim, similar to the first tablets. And then it says, Vale elai ha'hara, and ascend to the mountain. Meir, how did Moshe Rabbeinu get the luchos up in Shemayim? Come up the mountain. How did he get up there? No one helped him. He was all alone, not even Yahushua. How was Moshe able to schlep these massive stones up a mountain? Bishlam are going down a mountain with gravity.
Stone.
You want to say it was a small stone? It's interesting. Interesting. Yeah. You want to say, oh, yeah, also.
The first luchas came from Shemayim, so no matter how much they weighed, he could carry them. Okay. Because they were virtual. They were heavenly stones.
Okay, the truth is you're right, because who says they were so heavy? Because the luchas fit into the Aron. The Aron was only one amma, an amma and a half by 2.5 ammas. So it's not so big. You can carry it. It's not so big.
And there's stuff in it already. In the Aron, there was already the broken pieces.
No, but that was later. Moshe Rabbeinu is now going up to Shemayim, bringing up two stones. So maybe he made two trips.
Yeah, but where are the pieces of the first stone?
They collected them, it seems. It seems they were collected. All the broken pieces were collected.
When was the Aron built? Before Matan Dar, or after?
Well, there were two different Aronis. That's part of the Rashi over here in this parish. There were two Aronis. There was the Aron of Bezalel, that was part of the Mishkan, and then there was a separate Aron that Moshe made just for the Luchos temporarily. There were two Aronis. One was the Aron in the Midbar.
For the broken one or for the...
Well, the Gemara says that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Aron, they put both. There was room for both. There was room for the Luchos Rishonis and the Shnios.
Why
did they lose their size? It was cracked. It was cracked. I don't know how many pieces were cracked into the
Luchas. No, when you break something, let's say you mash it into dirt. You can really break it. You break it, it becomes smaller in size.
I don't know.
In the museum of the book in Israel, I don't remember on what, but the whole Torah is written on a small, not bigger, like a.
A microfish. No, they did more. They did it at the atomic level. They used the electronic microscope, and they did it with electronics the size of atoms. They took atoms and they wrote it with atoms.
Yeah, so Hashem could have done the same on stone.
Absolutely. Okay, absolutely. Fine. In a chanami. But, what if I, let's see. B'weisa hiyam Hashem elai b'solucha shnei luchay sabarim korishonim v'alei elai ha'hara, ascend the mountain. Number three, v'yosi solucha aroinates, make for yourself, Moshe, a box of wood. Three separate instructions. Go quarry stones. Number two, get up here. Get up to the top of the building. Get on top of the mountain. Come upstairs. Number three, make for yourself a box of wood. Three completely different concepts are being presented in this single pasuk.
So who said he didn't use a box with wheels to get it up the mountain?
In a chanami, who says there was a box? The box was down on the bottom of the mountain. Let's see Rashi.
No. Okay.
Let's see Rashi. Bo'esahi. At that time, what is that time? When? When's then? At that time. Rash, L'soif mem yoim nisrat se li. After 40 days. So this you should know is a very big machloek, is exactly what Rashi will be saying is the chiddush. According to Rashi, Hashem said to Moshe, "Psal lecha after when after it was Rosh Chodesh Elul. This was the second 40 days. The first 40 days, the luchos were not yet shattered. And the first 40 days, Moshe went to learn Torah. At the end of the first, Moshe was in Shemaim 3 sets of 40 days. 3 times did he go to, was he there in Shemaim 40 days. The first 40 days he was there to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. When he came down, it was Shiva Asa B'Tamuz. And he saw the eagle and he shattered the luchas. He then went back up for another 80 days. And the next 80 days were divided into 2 parts. First 40 and the second 40. Rashi says, Bo'esai, he means at that time, at the end of the second 40 days. It was this end of the second 40 days, Hashem says, Psal lecha, which I guess means that Moshe went down. At the end of 40 days, Hashem says, okay, you know what? I'm going to give you a new set of luchos. Leave. Descend. Moshe descended from Shemayim. He came down to earth. He procured 2 stones, and then went back up for another 40 days. So Moshe was not in Shemayim more than 40 days at a time. It wasn't because, if you would not read the Pesukim carefully, you can argue that Moshe was in Shemayim for 80 days straight. No. Moshe was in Shemayim, first it was 40 days, then he came down, he broke the Luchos. He went up for another 40 days to ask Mechila. Hashem says, I forgive you, and we're going to give new Luchos. Go downstairs. Go in Shemayim. We don't have any luchos here in Shemayim. Shemayim, we don't got this stuff here. You got to go down to earth to go find some stones and come back up. That's how Rashi
went. When did he came down to Behav and he hung around for 15 days?
No, doesn't say he came down to Behav. He came down Rosh Chodesh Elul during Tu B'Av.
He went back up Rosh Chodesh Elul.
He came down and went back. Both. It was both. He didn't come down to Tubav. Impossible. 40 days. He went Zion, Sivan. He went to Shemayim. 40, Shiva, 40 days later, comes down on Shivas B'Tamuz. He went back up on the 18th day of Tammuz. And 40 days after the 8th day of Tammuz is Rosh Chodesh Elul. So that means Tu B'Av, he was in Shemayim praying for Klal Yisrael. He was praying for all of those Shaduchim. They should not go wrong. I remember.
He was talking to the stone.
To
the stone. Yeah, you're a stone.
I'm a stone?
Yeah.
I'm a stone?
I talk to you and it bounces off like it was a rock.
Didn't ask me today if I called? Today's the first day in 40 days that you didn't ask me if I called. You gave up on me?
I thought for sure you called already.
Today's the first day in 40 days.
I remember this moment in time.
it could have been. It didn't work out for me. I remember many years ago. Yeah, it was a very good day this day. It didn't work out somehow.
Where were you? Where did you take it to?
Restaurant.
Okay.
She didn't want, not me. She didn't want. I wanted. She didn't want. I think. I gotta remember. It's a long time ago. Okay, let's go by it. Over here it says, "But l'soif mem yoyim l'israt saliv yom alib solcha v'achakach v'yosisa aroin v'ani osisi." I'm reading the Rashi. V'ani osisi. Over here Rashi says, "V'ani osisi aroin techila." Why kisha o kisha avoy the haluchos biyodi hechon et name Where am I going to put it?
Right,
this Aron is not the Aron that Bitsalo made. Moshe came down from the mountain later on. Hashem commanded, Tzal made the Mishkan first. And then he made the Aron v'Kelim. So Nimsa ze Aron acher hoya. Vizehu, there was this Aron shahoya yotzei imam lamucham, went out with them to battle. The eyes as us with Salo lo yotzei lamucham ella bimei Eli in one time. Eli v'nenshu olav v'nishba, he was punished and he was captured. Rashi is telling us a lot of things over here. Number one, the Aron over here that Hashem told Moshe to make is not the Aron of the Mishkan, because the Mishkan was not yet commanded. The Mishkan was first commanded later on. They commanded the Mishkan in 40 days from now, after Yom Kippur, did they command to make the Mishkan. Even when they made the Mishkan, Bezalel first made the Mishkan, then he made the Kelim. So the Aron for the Luchos was not made for a very, very long time. It's going to be at least 40 days until Hashem will first command to build, until to build the Mishkan. And then they have to collect money fundraising. It's a big job fundraising.
Hold a second. When he got the first luchos, he got the whole Torah, right?
When he got the in the year, luchos year, yeah. Okay.
So already in Seder, you should make a Mishkan.
All right, that's stop a kasha. Okay, it was the words. Whatever, that's a stomach. Let's not do that now. The words were jumbled.
So how big did Moshe make the Aron for the second Luchos?
I don't know. Doesn't say. Good question. It doesn't say. In Mamish doesn't say. Maybe the Aron for the second
Luchos. And when he came down with the first Luchos, where was he gonna put it?
Excellent question. I once wanted to suggest, this drush. I showed this many years ago. I wrote this up, and I showed it to a lot of people, and they all whatever my a lot of comments on this, and the idea is that the first luchos was meant to be, not in a box, permanently exposed, make believe. I'll give you an example. Make believe.
Like we have today, the
ruchas
are on top of the
aron. Gimashal, make believe you come to shul. Why do you have to have the sefer Torah and the aron? Why can't you come to shul? The sefer Torah should be permanently resting on the bima. It's on the bima,
right.
And it's on the bima, and it's open. It's open on the bima. Why not? Why do we have to go take the sefer Torah, close it up, put on a garter, a mantle, put it in the safe, tie it down with chains, and put it in the safe? I told someone once, I remember the guy could not stop laughing. I says, a Sefer Torah is like a terrorist in Guantanamo Bay. It's behind the safe, and you open up the safe, it's chained down. You take chains, you chain it down. Like your mamash, make believe you take a person, you put him in a prison with big, heavy steel doors, and you open up the doors, and the guy is chained to the wall. A Sefer Torah, and it's crazy the way we put Sefer Torah away in the Aron HaKodesh is ridiculous. We put it in a fireproof safe with chains, like mamish, the same thing you would do to a terrorist. So you know who had the same kasha like me? This very chashev rav in Lakewood. His name was, I told you, tells you in the shir, Rabbi, I don't remember his name. Gissinger.
Right.
He made in his shul. They have a picture of this. They wrote a biography of him. He died a couple of years ago. They wrote a biography. They show in the biography, it's art school book, a picture of Aron HaKodesh. Basically, it looks like a regular Aron, you would never know. But you go open up the Pereiches, and there are French doors. And you, they're full length. And you open up the French doors, and you go into a room, and it has marble. There's a chandelier, and there are these magnificent, beautiful, like bookcase, very fancy, shelves, and the Sefer Torah is resting on the shelf, not on chains, very, very comfortably, standing up.
Is it still like that today?
Yeah. No, he built the shul is a brand. The shul is relatively speaking a brand new shul. The shul is.
No, but now he died already. Are they keeping it or no?
What? It's a shul. What do you mean? It's a shul. This is where he was the Rav. It's someone else took over his shtetl. I don't know.
He's no longer alive.
I know. So someone took over. Someone took over the shtetl. There was a new rabbi in that shul. I don't know if it was his shul. I don't know if he owned the shul, or even if he did own the shul, he died. So someone else took over the shul. I don't know who took over the shul, but in this shul, the Aron HaKodesh was a walk. He designed it. It is a walk-in room. You open the paroiches, there are these two beautiful doors, and you open up the doors and you walk into a room, and the room has a chandelier and has a marble floor and has beautiful wooden, like a break front. And you open up the break front, and in the break front, it's resting very comfortably, standing up. The halacha has to be standing up. A sefer Torah, no chains. Sefer Torah resting very comfortably inside. And he held, he brought Makoros, that inside the Aron HaKodesh has a din of Eretz Yisrael. And people who needed to daven for something they wanted to daven for Refuah Shleima, they wanted to daven for something, they would come to the shul in the middle of the day and they would go into the Aron HaKodesh. They would go behind the curtain, go into the Aron HaKodesh, and they would go in there and they would daven. They will go daven. Very bakovedik. And you know what's so funny? It doesn't even take up so much space. You can basically build this, a replica of what he built in his shul, in any shul, even in Young Israel of Midwood. It doesn't take up that much space to build a little room. A little room. With a chandelier and with a marble floor. And you make it nice inside where you can walk in, and the Sefer Torah are resting comfortably. Not like, unfortunately, they're not like terrorists. You chain them down behind a big, heavy, you know, you have to have security also. I'm sure in his shul they have, on the outside, they probably have a safe. They probably have a steel door for security and for fire. Today you need the reason why they have this safe door, the door is not really so much for security, because Baruch Hashem, people don't steal Sefer Torah today anymore. Because what are they going to do with it? What are they going to do with it? They still say, what are you going to do with it? Today, the main reason why you have a safe in a shul, it should be fireproof. It should be fireproof. If Hashem is a fire, the Sefer Torah shouldn't get ruined. So how is that relevant? How are we getting to that discussion over here? I don't remember. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu that when you come down, Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you do to the Sefer Torah? I was telling you, is that you asked the question.
You were going to tell us your theory about where they put the first Aron. What was the plan for the first?
It was to be open on the Bima, exposed for everyone to see. The Luchos were meant to be exposed. No Aron HaKodesh. The Luchos would be on public display for all to come look and see. That was the original plan. Everyone can come look. You don't need a box. There is no box. It's on public display. What happened? After Moshe shared the Luchos, Klal Yisrael, the Madrega, we're not deserving. We're not deserving. The world is not ready for sanctity in the open. We're not deserving. The sanctity has to be tsanua. At some point, when the Shekhinah is begalui, then you're deserving that you can the luchos can be out in the open. We're not deserving, and that's why we need there to be a mishkan to enclose the Shekhinah. And in the mishkan, there's an inner chamber and an inner chamber. You know there are multiple levels. When you come to the Beis Hamikdash, you have the Har Habayis. The Har Habayis has a wall around it. Then you come into the Chel, another wall. Then you come into the Ezra's Nashim, another wall. The Azar is another wall. The Ulam is another wall. The Heichel is another wall. Finally, you come to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Luchos are in a box. And how many boxes? In fact, there are three boxes. There's the outer box, the middle box, the inner box. Many, many, many layers of containment. Because we're not deserving that the Shekhinah should be resting out of a Golui. Now in Moshe, Hashem never told Moshe Rabbeinu to make a box for the Luchos Rishonos, because the Luchos Rishonos were exposed for all to see. The first time we need containment is by the Luchos Shenios. And Hashem says to Moshe, make for yourself a box. And when does Moshe make the box? So Rashi says it's out of order. He made the box immediately. Because when Moshe already was anticipating coming down with the Luchos, where am I going to put the Luchos when I come down? I have to have the box ready. Person goes to have a baby. When they come home from the hospital, before you go to have the baby, a responsible person, they're already buying a crib. When you come home from the hospital, where are you going to put the baby? Where are you going to put the baby? You have to have the crib ready for the baby. You know, I have a friend, I told you this today, I can't believe this. I have a friend, he went and he has a crazy, mamash, a crazy maisa. He has a Talmud. He's on drugs, a meshugana. He calls him up. I tell you this, Rebbe Leza. He calls up his Rebbe. He tells Rebbe, he's living with a woman, not even married, living with a woman. He's a meshugana. She's even more crazy. They have a baby, meshuga has a baby. So he calls up his Rebbe and tells Rebbe, I had a baby. And the court took away the baby because we're both on drugs. He was in jail. All the meshugasim you can possibly imagine. So what do you want from me? He says, well, tomorrow the baby was given to my grandmother, 78 years old, and has an aide. Can you imagine? The court gave the baby. When they gave it to the grandmother, she's 78 years old. She has an aide who lives with her and a walker. And she's taking care of the baby. She gets the baby. The baby was a preemie, whatever. They gave her the baby. What did she do with the baby? She's a very smart lady. She got the baby a bris milah. She called a moil. And she got the baby a bris milah like that. And the grandmother can't take care of the baby. And he has no relatives, and she has certainly no relatives. So tomorrow we have a court. There's a court hearing tomorrow, and the court is basically going to take the baby and give it to the Goisha forced to care.
That's the kid you said that was given that someone got.
So and who are they going to give it to? You know they're going to give it to? They'll probably give it to a couple, two men. Two men who are married, and they're going to give it to the government. Once the government takes away the baby is gone. You'll never get it back. Right. Never get it. And they'll give it to Mamish, to Meshugoyim, to Goyim. Two men they'll give it to. That's what they'll give it to. So Rebbe, I need your help. Come to court tomorrow. I don't know what to do. So the guy says, listen here, you're out of your mind. You crazy. I can't help you. What do you want from me? I can't help you. Goodbye. Hangs up the phone. The whole day, it bothers him. The telephone call. So finally, at 12:30 at night, he calls up Elia Brudny. You hear this, Mice? He calls at 12:30, and he calls Elia Brudny. He tells him the whole story. So Elia Brudny tells him, this is Mamish Pidyon Shavuyim de Oraisa. If you don't do something and the government takes the baby's gone. This is a Jewish baby. The baby's gone forever. They'll go into foster care, the government, they'll give it to Meshugoyim. That's it, it's over. You have no, they'll call the police if you come near the baby. And who knows if they'll shmad the baby. You mechuyev to do whatever you can do to save the baby. So he was in the country, 12:30 at night, after talking to him for 2 hours, he gets in the car with his wife, probably 2 o'clock in the morning, and he drives to Brooklyn. And early, 8:30, 9 o'clock, he's in court. The next thing you know, he comes home with the baby. Where's the crib? Where's the crib? There's no crib.
You take out a drawer, you empty the drawer, you put in a blanket, and you put the kid in the drawer.
So now it's already 2 weeks. He has the baby. he has the baby ready for 2 weeks. By the way, he has four children. He married off his last child 2 weeks ago. Like a few days before he married off his last. He adopted, by the way, eight children, this guy. He already adopted eight children. He adopted. But when he adopted the kids, he adopted, they were older. They were like bigger. Most of them were teenagers.
Yeah.
And the one he adopted two, they were very little. They were like 6 years old, 7 years old. That was many years ago. That was like 10 years ago. He's no youngster. He's no youngster. He has now a newborn baby, a three-week-old baby. So he takes the kid home and his wife. And you know, they buy clothing. And they buy they have a stroller for the baby. And the whole family comes and they make litzanis of them. A shana rishayna, you know, they're like in their fifties. All of a sudden, now they get 100 people. They find out about this. The frump oilam finds out about this. Oh hell! And this one, that one. There are literally 100 couples who want the baby. They'll pay even $1 million. He's ready for that. He's ready for that. This guy is a tough guy.
You gotta be careful because I know this. Oh, hell, has done this in the past. They have their clients. They're not interested.
I know. $1 million. People, their clients will pay millions of dollars. We're dealing with big money here.
Right. So Oh, hell will play dirty here.
Yeah, they will. No one's denying that. They're calling the whole day. They want the baby. So he says. So he has a Dvaila for a month. The court gave it to him for a month. For a month, he has the baby for a month. And you know, he's talking to the father. The father's his student. So right away, you know, he's I'm not going to give the baby to anyone. I give it to the right people, you know, the right people. He feels like he's responsible now. He's not going to stop any yukul who comes, we have the baby. He feels responsible now. He knows one thing. So he has it ready for a week. His mother comes to feed the baby. The other people in the family, everyone revolves around the baby. He went to all the gedolim to ask them what to do with the baby. Azoy and azoy. But I already see. I saw the baby. I see. After 1 week, they don't know. The second week already, I see already. This baby is going nowhere. He's going to keep the baby. His brother told me, he has a younger brother, and he says, I want the baby. They're all fighting over the baby. So I am mamish baffled. I'm telling you, this is like bizarre as can be. Bizarre as he invited the parents to come for the Shabbos. The parents are, it's very sad. The parents are they're mamish terrible. They're not married. They're not married. They live together. Terrible, terrible. It's very, very tragic. The baby is a beautiful baby.
Maybe now they will get their act together.
It's not going to happen. By the way, she has had a baby from someone else. Has another baby, and that's Chvesnish. I don't know who has it. And he also has a baby from another woman, and that's also somewhere else. These people are not normal. They're goners. They're really bad news. Really bad news. I don't know. You're right, I'm lazy. I don't know. So this guy already, he's all lawyered up.
He should be lawyered up.
The saga continues. I have no idea. None of my business. But the impression I get, I don't like open up my mouth to him and ask him to. I just listen. Whatever he tells me, I listen. I'm not going to open up my big mouth. But the impression I get is, he's going to keep the baby. He's going to raise this baby. He already adopted eight children. Can you imagine? He adopted eight children and he raised them very good.
So he has experience. He has
now with a newborn. Now with a newborn. He has experience with teenagers. Now with a newborn. A newborn? At this.
Yeah, a newborn doesn't know anything. And it gets bigger. That's when you're.
It's true because the other kids came with a lot of baggage. The other kids came with a lot of baggage. Taka true, but it's whatever. But also, he's not a youngster. His wife is. His wife, you know, they're not youngsters. His wife's not a youngster. she works full time also. You know, they both work. They both work full time, nonstop. So, none of my business. But it's like, wow, can't believe this story. This is a story for the books. He invited the parents to come for Shabbos. The parents came. He said it was terrible what happened. They came. They're not well. They're not. Is the baby? My question is the baby a healthy baby? You know, the mother, they were on. She was on drugs the whole pregnancy. She was on drugs. Is the baby healthy?
Okay.
I have no idea. I have certainly. They took the baby to the doctor. They did all these tests on the baby. The baby seems. I saw the baby. I was holding the baby. It seems like a healthy. What do I know? The baby seems. You know.
Okay.
All right. To be continued. That story. We'll see. We'll see what happens to that baby. It's so.
Very nice story. You have a very, very successful tuba. You hear me?
We're not finished yet. The pasuk. Let's finish the targum first. Learn at least the targum. Pasuk Aleph. We're not finished yet over here. Aleph. The targum says Be'idna Chachu Amar Hashem Li Pesoloch Treim Luchei Avnaya. Two tablets of stone. One is not enough. Two tablets of stone. Now you know. And let me tell you a chiddush. This is like a Friday morning chiddush. Why did Hashem have to say Shnei? Just say Kari Shonim. What is the difference between the first Luchas and the second Luchas? The first Luchas...
That's it. Maybe the first ones were attached and the second was separate.
The Dibrois, there's no Vav in between each of the Dibrois. Each of the Dibrois, it says, Loi Tirtzach, Lo Tinof, Lo Tignov. There's no Vav Achibur between the first and the second Dibrois. In the second Luchas, all of the Dibros have a Vav Achibur. There are 22 differences between the first and the second. There's a Vav Achibur between each one of the Dibros. There's a Vav, which connects all of the Dibros together. That's one of the Chilukim between the first Dibros and the second Dibros. The second Dibros were put on the second tablets. So you may think that just like in between each of the Dibros, there's a Vav Achibur, so maybe the second Luchos will be one Luach. The Aseres HaDibros should be written on one tablet. The first set of Dibros, two tablets. But maybe the second time around will be one tablet. Just like there's a Vav that's Mechaber, each one of the Dibros to each other. So maybe there should be only one tablet. So Hashem says no. Even the second time around, Shnei Luchos Avanim. Still, even though when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu the second Dibros, it was different, and one of the differences was that it was Mechubar, so that may mislead Moshe Rabbeinu to think that they should go put all of the Dibros, all of the Aseres HaDibros on one tablet, save space. You don't have to go carry two tablets, just one tablet. Hashem says, no. Hashem says, still, you have to have two, Shnei Luchos Avonim. Okay, it's time to psalm a train Luchai Avnaya, Ke Kad Moe, like in the beginning, Visak, Lik Domaik, go up before me, Litur to the mountain, Visave Loch Aroino de O, a box of wood. A box of wood. In the Mishkan, the box was also made from wood, but the difference was the inside is three boxes. This is just going to be one box. And Rashi says that when they went to war, they took the Luchos and they put the Luchos in this box that Moshe made, and they went out to war with the Luchos in this box. But the only time they took out the Luchos in the Oroin of the Mishkan was in the time of Eli HaKoyen, at the time of Shiloh, Melchemesh, the Mikdash of Shiloh. And that's when the Oroin, it was Shaloi Kalacha, that was incorrect to take the Oroin, the Luchos, in the box that was in the Kodesh HaKodashim. And because they did Shaloi Kedin, the Luchos and the Oroin were captured. It was captured by the Pelishtim. And they took the Oroin, they put in a base Avodah Zarah, and that night of Digoin, and that the Avodah Zarah collapsed. And then miraculously, they made a gift. And they send it back with the parois. Vatosharna haparos, the miraculously the Aron returned back to Klal Yisrael. And that was, so that's all alluded to over here in this Rashi over here. All right, Rabbi Lazer, thank you for coming. Amir, thank you for coming. Yirtz Hashem. Tomorrow you're not going to... Rabbi Lazer, are you going away on vacation? Have a wonderful vacation. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Hatzlocha, Rabbi.
Rabbi Fry, send me the bill. I'm paying the bill, I said.
Okay, I'll send you the bill.
Okay.
I see, Mayor. Zeig.
What?
I remember.